Chapter 13 with me tonight. Acts chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 of Acts 13. Very familiar passage of scripture to you, members of this church. But I want to look at these verses here tonight, and we're going to consider the call of Barnabas and Saul in this passage, and how the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Let's go ahead and read these verses, and we'll begin. The Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." In context here, in the book of Acts, there's really a momentous change in the narrative of the book of Acts that arrives here in chapter 13. The focus prior to this has been on the ministry of the Apostle Peter, and events surrounding how the Lord used him in a mighty way. But the focus shifts completely and altogether from Peter to Saul, or who we would know as the Apostle Paul. In verses 1 through 3, as we just read, there's the call of Barnabas and Saul for the work that the Lord had for them. If you get to the verses 4 through 13, which we'll not consider tonight, but you see that Paul begins his first missionary journey, and he preaches the word of God in Antioch and Pisidia. The Holy Spirit of God empowers them. There's a sorcerer who experienced blindness because he resisted the work of the Lord. There was a governor who was born again, who was converted to Christ. And so there was evidence of the power of God on their work and their ministry, even in this chapter. Then you get down to the middle portion of chapter 13, verses 14 through 33, and we find the first recorded sermon by Paul at Antioch in Pisidia, and you see clearly that he emphasizes the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in this sermon. The last portion of chapter 13, verses 44 to 52, deals with the persecution that Paul and Barnabas suffered for preaching the gospel. And thus begins the work and the ministry that the Spirit of God had called them to. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, in fact, you can just turn over there with me. Romans 10, just hold your place here and look at Romans 10 and verse 14. Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." People need to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But they won't hear without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is very desirous to call and to separate laborers into the harvest field. That's the reason Matthew 9:38 commands us, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." It's God's will, it's God's heart, it's God's desire to separate God-called preachers into the work and the ministry to preach the gospel. Because that is how, preaching the gospel, people are going to be saved. This church in Antioch was a young church, but it had grown tremendously in numbers. It had grown in power. It had grown in Christ's likeness. Go back to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, I want you to look at verse 19. In Acts 11, verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon this persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So we read in Acts chapter 8 how the church at Jerusalem experienced great persecution. Those members of the church were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. Here we find where they went. And the Bible says they were in Antioch and they preached the word of God there. Now look at verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So here's the beginning, the nucleus of the church that was going to be organized in Antioch. A great number believed, the Bible says. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So those that were saved in Antioch, word of this revival, if you will, of souls being saved, came back to the church at Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas to Antioch to begin to organize these converts into a scriptural New Testament church. Barnabas exhorts them from the very beginning to cleave unto the Lord with all of their heart. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So here, already there were numbers who were saved. Upon Barnabas coming and organizing these people, the church members also testifying, the Bible says that great numbers were added unto the Lord. Much people, more people were saved. This church, although young, was growing in numbers, it was growing in power, it was also growing in Christ's likeness. Verse 25 says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Here they are growing in numbers, growing in power, growing in Christ's likeness. They have the testimony of being Christians in Antioch. They're busy testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. More people are being saved. You get over to chapter 13 and you find some notable names mentioned who were members of this church. And we read these verses already, but you find that Barnabas is mentioned as a member of this church. He was in Jerusalem. Jerusalem sent him over to Antioch. Apparently, he joined the church. Amen? And he taught and he preached. He was a preacher in the church at Antioch. You have Barnabas, who was sent from Jerusalem to exhort. Now he's a leader and a member. Then you find that there's Simon of Niger. Some say that he's the same Simon of Cyrene who carried Jesus' cross. We don't necessarily have proof of that, but that is the feeling by many. Then Lucius of Cyrene is mentioned. Then there's Manaen, who the Bible says had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. That reference there, having been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, it implies that he was Herod's stepbrother. And this particular Herod may not have been the same kind of powerful ruler that other Herods were who are mentioned in the New Testament. What's significant about this, though, is that the church in Antioch had a group of people, men, who were in those days considered to be of higher class. This is a man who this was one who would have been part of quote royalty, who was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ and a member of this New Testament church. And then last but certainly not least is mentioned Saul. And the point is that clearly there was a collection of notable men in this young church at Antioch that God had placed there for a God-given reason. Isn't it interesting? If we really believe that God places the members in the body as it hath pleased him, and that God calls and raises up men inside of a New Testament church. They're to be trained there, and the church is to be sending them away. Prior to that, those members that God places in that body, God has a purpose for them being there. Verse 2 states, look at verse 2 of chapter 13 with me. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 2 states, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Not only the leadership, not only these prophets and teachers, these preachers in the church, but members as well, ministered to the Lord and fasted. The word ministered here is the Greek word liturgio. And it has the sense of formal ministry to it. And what is implied here is that these men who are just mentioned here in verse 1 were actively and perhaps officially involved in the ministry of the church in Antioch. They were prophets, they were teachers, they were actively involved in expounding, preaching, teaching the Word of God on some level in this church. They were ministering, formal ministry to the Lord. But then the Bible says they fasted. This is the Greek word nesturo, and it has the sense, of course, of abstaining from food and drink. But what's interesting and what I want to point out here is that this church was involved in fasting. And fasting, from what we gather from this, fasting was something that was practiced in the early church, but it was also something that was practiced in the context of serious ministry. It wasn't just something that was ritual or rite or some religious type practice. Fasting was practiced in context of serious ministry. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, it was in that context that the Lord called and separated these men. What were they fasting for? Well, the Bible doesn't actually or exactly say what they were fasting for. But perhaps they had been waiting on the Lord for some special guidance as to how they might further the cause of Christ. Maybe the reason this church was fasting is because they'd already been praying. Maybe they were seeking to further the kingdom of God and further the cause of Christ in the church, and they were waiting on the Lord to give them some special guidance as to what His will was next. It was in this context of serious ministry and fasting and praying that the Holy Spirit said, separate me Barnabas and Saul. What is implied here is that in all likelihood, it wasn't an audible voice that the church heard. No, but rather the Spirit of God would have impressed upon their hearts, upon the leadership of the church, upon the church members, no doubt upon Barnabas and Saul themselves and the members, that God was selecting them for a special ministry for His purpose. I would encourage you, before we get into the call of Barnabas and Saul here, I would encourage you, as members of this church, to fast and to pray as we seek the Lord for opening doors to natives in Alaska. It was in the context of fasting and prayer that God answered and that God spoke. Fasting was practiced in the context of serious ministry unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you, fast and pray and seek the Lord for opening doors to natives of Alaska. We need guidance from the Lord to further the kingdom of God, to further the cause of Christ, to effectively answer the call of God. Would you do that? Between you and the Lord. But would you do that? The church in Antioch did. That's a biblical pattern. The church in Antioch did. It must have been important. Consider with me the call of Barnabas and Saul for just a few minutes here tonight. I want you to note, first of all, that the call of Barnabas and Saul, first of all, it was a divine call. Because verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. We find that it was a divine call. It was the Holy Ghost who said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul were surely called of God to this work, to this ministry, just like other servants of the Lord. They were as surely called of God as Moses was to go set his people free. God spoke to Moses in a voice in the burning bush, and God told him, this is what I want you to do. Go and set my people free. You know what? The call of Barnabas and Saul wasn't any less. They weren't any less called of God than someone like Moses. God called them for his particular purpose. God calls whom he chooses. God fits them and prepares them. Then in our day, in our time, God fits them and prepares them through the ministry of a local New Testament church. I was having a Bible study tonight with Travis, and we were talking about what it's like out there in independent Baptist churches today. And really, why are there all these adjectives in front of Baptist church on church signs? We're independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, you know, whatever. Unaffiliated, old time. You saw all these adjectives in front of Baptist churches, and it's gotten to, over time, it's gotten to this place where you got to try to identify even further what kind of a Baptist you are. When technically, scripturally, there's only one kind of church. It's the one that Jesus started, which was, I believe, a Baptist church. But over time, with all this inclusion of man-made ideas and false doctrine and all of these other things, churches began to try to distinguish themselves and their beliefs a little bit more. And so you're just adding on all these adjectives to describe what kind of Baptist church you are. It's a sad state of things. As we were walking through this Bible study, though, we're talking about how the Lord calls, how the Lord prepares and sends his servants. But nowadays, you've got missions boards. We're talking about how a missions board is a parachurch or something alongside, a parachurch organization that I don't believe is scriptural or biblical. Jesus Christ gave his command to his church. Churches plant churches. Churches start churches. It's the church's responsibility as God calls men to train them and to send them. Not a missions board responsibility. Those missions boards ultimately begin to usurp the authority of a scriptural New Testament church. And we're talking about this in context of them moving to California. Pray for them. They're looking for a good church right now that they can join in California. Lots of different Baptist churches. One of the things that you can, one of the dead giveaways, though, as you're looking for things, is what kind of missionaries do they support? Are they church-sent missionaries? Or do they support a bunch of board missionaries? It'll tell you what kind of beliefs that they have. It'll tell you how strong they are in local church truth. That's just one of the few, one of the many, rather, that you can talk about. But the point is that God calls his men, and he calls them and prepares them and fits them for his purpose through the ministry of a local New Testament church. That's the biblical pattern we see right here. We see these men already ministering and already serving, actively serving in their church. Go back to chapter 11, verse 2 said that they ministered unto the Lord. They were already serving, but in chapter 11, in verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the members of this church in Antioch, when they heard of the persecution and the great need in Jerusalem, they determined, we're going to send some relief. And that offering that they took up, they put in the hands of Barnabas and Saul and sent Barnabas and Saul on this mission to send and give them that love offering. The point is, we can see that they were already actively serving in the church at Antioch. And I would make this application. God does not use idle people. People who seemingly have nothing to do. People who are members, but they're not really active members. They come, they go to church, they go home, they live their life, they come back to church, they go home, they live their life, and so on, but they're not really, really involved in their heart in the work of the Lord on some level. God doesn't use idle people. Barnabas and Saul, they were not idle. They were busy ministering, serving, actively involved. God doesn't use those who are going to get serious about serving God someday, because someday often usually never comes. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be busy serving and ministering in and through His church right now. That's why He has placed us in the body, amen? To give Him glory, to serve Him through the ministry of a local New Testament church. This is preparation ground right there. That's training ground right there. And God's going to use those further who have proven themselves faithful already. It was a divine call. And God called these men for a particular purpose, but these men were already active, already busy. You know what? That ought to be the heart of every man, every church member. Lord, I want to be used of You. Lord, I'm willing for You to use me however You want. And God, if You'd send me across the world, I would go if that's what You want. But until then, I'm going to be busy serving You right now to my full potential. Lord, what do You want me to do? Not only was it a divine call, but it was a personal call. Verse 2 says, the Spirit of God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. It was very specific and it was very personal. There was no question as to who the Lord wanted. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1 says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. But Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4 says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And I would simply say to you that the call to full-time ministry may be specific to an individual as God calls them out, but let us never forget that we're all called of God to be a witness of Jesus Christ, and that is something we ought to take personal. A personal challenge, a personal call from God to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Not only was it a divine call, not only was it a personal call, but thirdly, it was a call to separation. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. They were to be separated unto the Lord, so that the Spirit of God might do the will of God through them, which is how God has chosen to accomplish His will, through His people. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They were to be separated unto the Holy Spirit of God so that He could do the will of God through them. 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 21 shows us that this has been God's method of accomplishing His will. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These men were also to be separated from the church, to be sent to the work that God had called them. But it was so much more than just being separated from the church. To be used of the Holy Spirit of God, they had to be separated from the world and to the Lord, and they had to be entirely yielded to Him. You remember how the Apostle Paul endeavored to go up into Asia, but the Spirit of God suffered him not? He had to be yielded to the Spirit of God and sensitive to the voice of the Lord to be directed to where God wanted him to go. And it reminds me of the message that Brother McDowell preached about the super boss. And how he's the Lord of the harvest, and how he's managing, and he knows the harvest fields, and he knows which ones need gleaners and reapers, and he knows all of the workings, and he simply takes his workers and he says, I'm putting you over here in this field because there's a harvest that needs to happen now. That was the Apostle Paul. He endeavored to go up into Asia because he wanted to preach the gospel, but there was something else that God had in mind at the time, and he says, no, you're going to go over here. And the point is, he had to be yielded, entirely yielded to the Lord, to the Spirit of God, and sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. These men, the Spirit of God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. They were yielded to the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that those who remained in Antioch weren't separated unto God themselves. I'm certain that they were. And so the application that we can make from that is that, you know, you and I also need to be separated unto the Lord. Whether or not we have a divine call of God into ministry full time, we still need to be separated unto the Lord. Amen? We can live a separated life anywhere, and we ought to, for God's honor and God's glory, for that is what He has called us to, separation. One thing is certain, though. The Spirit of God is never going to call someone who's full of the spirit of the world. These men were not worldly men. And the Spirit of God's never going to call one who's full of the spirit of the world. They need to be yielded unto the Lord. It was a call to separation. Fourthly, it was a call to work. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, to the work whereunto I have called them. As saints of God, we're not called to a life of ease and a life of idleness. We're not saved so that we can serve self. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're bought with a price, and we're to glorify God in our body, in our spirit, which are God's. We're not called to a life of ease and a life of self and a life of idleness, but we're called to be workers. We're called to be laborers together with God who has given us this holy calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Who do we belong to? We belong to the Lord. We're laborers together with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Mark chapter 16 and verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And confirming the word with signs following. Amen. After Jesus had given His disciples His command, His commission, they went forth and they preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them. Let me ask you the question, have you entered into His labors? Are you laboring together with God, or are you idle in His vineyard? You know, we come off of a week like Missions Conference and we hear preaching. Maybe our heart is stirred a little bit. Hopefully, prayerfully it was in your life. Maybe the Spirit of God speaks on a particular level to further the cause of Christ. Another level of involvement that God wants you in the fields, in the harvest, in labor. What are you doing with it? Are we already drifting back into life as we know it, same old, same old? Or is it firmly planted in my heart, Lord, I want to do what You have talked to me about. How do I apply this? Are you entering into His labors? Remember, we're not called to labor alone, but we're laborers together with God. Lastly, this call, verse 3, look at verse 3 of Acts 13. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This call, not only was it a divine call, not only was it a personal call, not only was it a call to separation and a call to work, but it was a call that involved the church. Verse 3 says, when they, the church, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, the church, sent them away. And I would say to you, when one is truly called of God to do the work of an evangelist, you know what? The church knows about it. There's a sense, and they can see the hand of God at work in an individual's life. And when God is calling and God is beginning to train and God is beginning to raise up one, listen, the church knows about it. There's no such thing as someone just being sent out by just the leadership of the church and the authority of the church and the membership not having any idea about it. There's no such thing in the scriptures about that. I heard a story about that not that long ago, actually. A bigger church, scriptural, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Have a Bible college. And the staff, the pastor, the leaders of the church took this man, they sent him out to go to this other town to start a mission work. At some point later on, there was a meeting going on in the church and it came out that Brother so-and-so was sent out already to go and do this work. And the church was like, what? Whoa, wait a second, what? When did that happen? Completely unaware. You just got to scratch your head. The Bible knows nothing of something like that. In this church, the church at Antioch, the Spirit of God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And it was the church that fasted and prayed together. It was the church that laid their hands on them. It was the church that sent them away under the authority of that scriptural New Testament church. And I'm simply saying that when God is calling, and when God truly calls a man to do the work of an evangelist, the church knows about it. They can sense it. They can see it. The church had been fasting and praying. God answered in calling these men. The church recognized it. And when the Lord made the time clear, they laid their hands on them. They ordained them. This was not in doing some special gift upon them. It was simply the church recognizing and certifying that indeed these were being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, that God had called these men to a particular purpose. They were solemnly ordained. There wasn't parties going on, but there was fasting and praying going on. There wasn't a bunch of hip hip hoorays going on, but there was a solemn doing of the will of God to the work that God had called them to. It was a serious matter in the life of that church. The call of God involved the church. No man is an island unto himself. No evangelist or pastor or missionary, whatever you want to call it, according to the Word of God, is a freelancer. There was the authority of this scriptural church that was involved here in the sending them away. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 here describe the New Testament pattern for sending out evangelists and teams. Number one, God calls those who He chooses. Number two, the church certifies that call. They recognize it. Number three, the church and the Spirit of God send those evangelists forth, the church backing them with prayer and support. And I would say to you, friends, that God is still doing his work. And God is still selecting his preachers. And we should ever seek to cooperate with the Lord in discovering and setting apart and training the chosen men of God for his work. This is why we need to pray the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. The Bible says the man who desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. But he can't choose that for himself. God needs to give the call. But the church ought to be praying, Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest. The men of the church ought to be saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, I'm willing. If you call, I'm willing to go. But until you do, I'm going to faithfully serve here, and I'm going to keep praying that, Lord, you'd send more laborers into the harvest. It ought to be a burden on our heart as a church to reproduce ourselves. Lord, would you call more laborers? Give us the opportunity, Lord, to do it again, to train and to send. This church, they fasted, they prayed. And the Spirit of God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. That's the heart and mind that we need to have as a scriptural New Testament church. Lord, we want to reproduce ourselves again as you've commanded us to do. Lord, would you call men? Would you raise them up? And Lord, I'm willing to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd grip our heart with the great need of this world. We've spent over a month on the subject of missions. We've had a great missions conference. Lord, I pray that we'd not lose sight of the things that you've spoken to our hearts about. Lord, we'd not lose sight of this command to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. But Lord, as a church, that we collectively would be burdened and in cooperation with you, Lord, would you raise up men? Lord, would you allow us to train and descend into the harvest field? Lord, would you accomplish your will through your church to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Lord, would you give us more good men that we can support, good churches that we can partner with, that the work of the Lord might increase, the cause of Christ might move forward. And Lord, that our heart as a church would be just the work of missions. It's the heartbeat, the focus, the burden. Lord, I pray that you would send forth laborers into your harvest again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.